Blog Talk Radio.
As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be blessed with a gift. We're going to be blessed with a gentleman that's going to come on the air today, and he's going to share some very interesting and also some very moving information with us. We're going to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King and his dream, or the dream, and that dream and how it's come to fruition. We're also going to briefly talk about the experiences of a gentleman that has a very interesting outlook on different things that have happened to his life and through the experiences that he's had to experience. We're going to speak with Mr. James H. Stern. He is a civil rights activist, and while he was incarcerated in a cell with Eggers Ray Killen, who a lot of you may know if you look back at your history, while he was incarcerated with and around Mr. Killen, he was able to get quite a bit of information from Mr. Killen, and that information actually was very shattering. And when I say shattering, I mean it was something that surprises a lot of people, you know, and it also talks about a lot of the different things that are going on. Mr. Killen was a famous Ku Klux Klan Supreme Grand Wizard who basically confessed to being responsible for 32 cold cases, and we're going to briefly talk about that. But the main thing that we want to touch on is also a positive thing that came out of all of the things that have happened in the sense of Dr. King's dream, and how even though you had people like Mr. Killen that were very negative at that time, that the dream has actually come to light. So Mr. Stern has actually... his mission is to champion the facts of today's leaders of the civil rights battle, and not just and that it's not just a black thing. It's more that it's, he wants to demonstrate how people of all races and all colors have actually stepped up to the plate and shown courage, not only now but back in the day, and that this is a dream that takes all of us, not any one of us. Anyway, I don't want to steal any thunder, and I'm very blessed and very happy to have Mr. Killen with us today. Hello, excuse me, not Mr. Killen, sorry. Mr. Stern with us. How are you today, sir?
Fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can hear you just fine.
And no, I'm not Mr. Killen.
Definitely not. Most definitely not. So, could you give us a brief overview of your story, how you met Mr. Killen, all of that, and then let's go forward from there.
Okay, let me first start off by saying that there's some things, unfortunately, I can't talk about because of contractual agreements about a couple of books and movies about to come out, but I don't think you'll be disappointed what I can say. It's no puzzle that, no secret that in 2007, while in court in Mississippi, I was railroaded. I hate to say it, Mississippi is like a third world country still, and that's sad to have to say that with the justice system. But we do have some good people. Mississippians are very good people, but we have a segment of the justice system that really sucks. One of the courageous people out there is Jim Hood, the Attorney General. For 45 years, no one would prosecute Eggers Ray Killen for his role in the Mississippi Burning case, which everybody knows that movie,
yes,
the Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner case. Well, Jim Hood was the only person who stepped up to the plate and prosecuted Mr. Killen. And you can understand that him being the only elected Democrat in the whole state of Mississippi, and the rest is Republicans, and a state that revered Eggers Ray Killen as actually a hero, following in his footsteps of General Lee.
Wow.
From the Civil Wars, you know, when the Klan first got started. It wasn't a popular thing for him to prosecute Mr. Killen. While a lot of people wouldn't say it publicly, a lot of people thought secretly that, you know, leave the man alone. You know, don't stir this up. So he was convicted, which was a no-brainer. He was given 60 years, and at his age, that's, he'd be 140 years old when he's eligible to parole, which, you know, that's a life sentence.
Yes.
The fact that I'm from California, I was extradited out there on a charge of corporate wire fraud. I did not have a personal knowledge of everything that went on in the South as Mississippians did, black and white. When I came back from court one day fighting one of my five lawsuits, which I incidentally, I won all five of my lawsuits representing myself as my own lawyer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I found out if I wanted to get anything done, I had to be my own lawyer and play bootleg lawyer. Sad that I couldn't get a real lawyer to take on the case because it would have politically been suicide for them to fight for me when I was right, which would have destroyed a lot of careers. When I came back from court one day, they asked me, did I know who Edgar Ray Killens was? I says, no, actually never heard of the man. They asked me, have I seen the movie Mississippi Burning? And I actually have never seen that movie because I've never spent time looking at a movie about racism because living in Los Angeles, you know, we share a cohesiveness together with whites and blacks out here. While I'm sure there's racial problems that exist, it's not on a level as Mississippi in the South. The fact that I didn't know who he was, they feel comfortable. They said, you'll do. So they put me as his roommate. And let's just say from the very beginning to the end, I had to endure being called the N-word 40 times a day. I saved his life in several ways. And certain things happened which allowed us to, for him to grow trusting of me. One, I listened to him. While a lot of blacks did not even want to talk to him, because you have to understand that even one of the wardens of the prison wanted to kill the man. So they had to put him in the most protective situation they could. It's their job, you know, to protect the man while he's in prison so he can do his time and not allow other inmates to prey on him. And you have to understand that 95% of the prison system is black in Mississippi. So he came through his worst nightmare by coming to prison one day. Everybody that he targeted and killed and caused to be killed, he had to now face their relatives and their kind, per se. And so over a period of time, he grew to trust me. He grew very conversational with me. I listened without flinching, which was very difficult. And he started telling me stuff that people told me that was totally off limits to ever find out. He's been holding these secrets for 45 years. And I didn't understand the magnitude of what I had being said to me, but when I was educated by a dear friend in prison named George Jackson, God rest his soul now, he's passed away after 18 years in prison. He died there doing a life sentence. He informed me of everything that I was hearing. And he says, you need to get this man, write this stuff down, because no one will ever believe he's telling you these things. And talking to Edgar, he started writing me letters of confessions, multiple letters of confessions. And I convinced Edgar by telling the truth that he will never, ever, ever, ever get out of prison. The government spent millions of dollars putting him in there, and it's a fact that they would do everything in their power to keep such a person in jail. Now, after spending time with him, I can say, rightfully so, he's not in there as a victim. He's in there because it's justice. And it's sad that it had happened that way, but it's justice that he's in there because he did do everything he said that he was accused of. The things he talked about were things that everybody suspected he did. The government knew he did. Let me just say this to you as a host. We have never been so more wrong about the civil rights era than we have been taught. That's scary. The confessions he made went as high as the White House. The president of the United States at the time had a part of it. To the most powerful political family in the whole South was the Eastland, Senator Eastland himself, which name now sits on the side of a court building, the Eastland Federal Court Building. This Edgar Ray Killens blew the whistle on everybody. He named everybody. He gave me dates, times, places, the whole nine yards. And we were so wrong about the civil rights movement. The one thing we were right about was the fight as we did as a race of people. But one thing we were wrong about was the details of how it even got started. And when you find out the connections that it goes all as high as to the White House, the connection to the Vietnam War, J. Edgar Hoover, it just totally astounds you.
Mind-boggling.
It boggles your mind, and I understood why this man kept his mouth closed for all these years. And you know, everybody asked a $64 question, why did he tell me these things, and why to a black man? I guess that's what makes the story so interesting. So I have to, you know, stop shy there right now because that's something that is contractually obligated for the book and movie. But it would also do it an injustice to give you bits and pieces without the full content of it. So that's why it's important for it to come out in its full totality. So
true.
That's,
I totally
that's
understand.
What happened. But
and ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions for our guest today, the number is 323-443-7471, within what he can answer, of course, but it's 323-443-7471. Also, the chat room is open, so if you have any questions, we'd also like you to call in if you would like to ask a question or if you have a comment, that's fine. On the show, we actually, at the bottom of the show site, we actually have some information, which was some of the clips from news clips and things like that on what Mr. Stern actually went through and some of that process. Go ahead, continue, please.
One thing I have to say is that you remember the famous scene of the station wagon that was burned out that the gentlemen were in?
Yes.
The guy who actually owned the station wagon is alive today. We always assumed that Mr. James Cheney was the owner of the station wagon, but he was not. And there's a whole story and revelation that the fact that the guy who actually owned the station wagon, who was supposed to be dead, is still alive today. I've actually talked to him. I told him who I was, and I told him I have the letters from Edgar Ray Killens expressing how he was supposed to be the one killed, and he says, I know. He's actually quite a man. There's a lot of this will actually close out the civil rights era about the misconceptions. This will finally give everybody, white and black, all the answers to the questions they have had. And one of the most important things that's come out of it for me personally is my knowledge of all the courageous white and Jewish people who made our opportunities as African Americans what they are today. These are the unsung heroes, the unknown soldiers, I call them, of that time, that no one ever considered that we as black people would not have been successful in our movement without the cooperation of various whites and Jewish people who believed in the same goal we had, freedom.
Yep. Throughout history, even back when slavery was in place, you're correct. The Underground Railroad.
The Underground Railroad had many whites who hid us, who got us from point A to point B and fed us. But the sentence for them helping us would have been death by the Klan.
Yes.
See, I'm saying that the Klan didn't just hang black people. The Klan hanged many white people as an example to the white race back there. They're saying, don't go against the grain. Don't do anything against the creed or how we want it. And it was politically acceptable to feel that way against black people. I mean, look at Senator Eastland. Senator Eastland have a statement in an encyclopedia that says that in the pursuit of killing black people, one should use bows, arrows, knives, ropes, chains and guns.
Wow.
I says, wow. Now, this is Senator Eastland. Incidentally, what the twist is that his family was one of the law firms that tried to represent me when I got out of jail. You know, so you know it's a crazy situation, but a very real serious one. I had to stay quiet for years because I was still me and my family was in Mississippi, and when the first chance I got to get out of there with my family, I did. I'm originally from L.A. here, and I said
right.
I was extradited there. So when we got back to L.A., the chance of the story now is that it was no problem with it all coming out in its totality.
Right. But I like the fact that you were able to look at your experience, look at all the things that have happened and that you experienced and that new knowledge that you gained and actually turn it around to point out the positive sides of what's happened and all of the hundreds of people who have stepped up or thousands of people who have stepped up. Because you also have a program coming up. I believe you're going to be honoring some of the people in Hollywood and things along that nature, correct?
There's not just them, but yes, the people in Hollywood, we focus. There's 19 celebrities identified solidly that has adopted. These are white families who adopted black children. And there's one black celebrity, he's a linebacker, who's adopted a white baby. Now, it's been a really powder keg about that subject. And here's the point. I dare, and here today on your show, I always dare and challenge anyone to say anything negative about that, because here's the facts. In Los Angeles alone, in California, 80% of every child that goes through the foster care system end up in prison.
Wow.
That's scary. Because
yes.
when they get out of the foster care system, they have no support factor, no love, no family, no direction. So therefore, they end up within a year or two of their release from the foster care system breaking the law. Now, you and I both know our children need us more after they get grown for a while than they need us when they were children.
Right.
You know, we needed our parents when we got out, when we first got out there. You know, if it's nothing but for $20 for gas, you know, $5 for a hamburger, you know, Mama, can I borrow this? Now, what happens if you have nobody out there to say yes to you about helping you at a very critical moment when $5 can make the difference between you eating or having to still end up in jail?
It's crucial.
So when these celebrities, I focus on them because they get the world, they have a national platform. And there's many more people who are not celebrities who have adopted black children who are white and blacks who have adopted white. I honor them because they basically taken a child that nobody else wanted and give them not just one day of a photo shot, but they give them 365 days out of a year, 24 hours a day, of unconditional love and support. Now, you can't knock that.
Nope.
I mean, if you're saying, well, they should only be with a black family, a black child, what happens to that black child who could have been adopted by a white family and had love and understanding and support and make it if they didn't have this white family? You know, would you really say let them stay in a foster care system and go to prison one day just because there's no black family for them today? That's ludicrous.
Correct.
We're not white and black. We're Americans. This is America. You know, we all have one history here. That's American history, which it comprises of a lot of different things. But when the day is over with, we're just American citizens. So these kids are now being raised with no color lines. That's what we call our organization now, No Color Lines. Now, you're going to tell Steven Spielberg, who's actually one of the celebrities who have a black child. Are you one day going to tell Steven Spielberg, child, no, you can't have a chance to write a script in Hollywood? No, I don't think it's going to happen. Because who his daddy is, he will get the same opportunities as any white child, more so. And I commend that. So we have a generation of children growing up with no idea of white and black being a difference. They only know their parents who give them love in spite of the shade of their color. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Within another two or three generations of this, we'll have quite a battle to fight trying to talk about some racism to these kids who will be running the country in various parts of the world.
Absolutely right. I mean, who would have thought 20, 30 years ago that today we'd have an African-American president, not only
exactly.
that won once, but won twice.
Exactly. And his mom was white, his dad was black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't tell him about any racial issues. He, you know, he's grateful to both. He embraces both of his ethnicities and his cultures.
Definitely.
And he represents the American people. In spite of the politics, whether we agree Republican or Democrat, he represents the American people at the end of the day, to the best of his ability. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yep, and that strengthens our country every day.
Every day.
Because we are a melting pot. There's no question
about
that.
Everybody came over here on some kind of boat, whether it was an immigration boat or a slave boat. You know, we all came over here. There's only one person who was over here first, and I think that was, from my history, no, I think it was the Indians.
It was the Indians.
Yeah. I think they were the only ones here first, but everybody else came over here from somewhere else. So, you know, who's to say we're better than anybody else? We all came here for a better opportunity and chance. Rather, we came over here on a boat that was because of penal colonies or being criminals from Europe going through Australia by way here, or rather we came here through a slave boat, forcibly. You know, when it's all said and done, we today in 2013, we have now got to just be Americans.
I agree.
And that's what our program is going to be. We're looking at having a wonderful award ceremony honoring these celebrities for these interracial adoptions. In spite of, some people say some of the celebrities have selfish motives for adopting these kids. I'm not getting involved with the adults' selfish motives. I'm looking at the benefit that the child has. you know, the adults going to have to pay the price for their selfish intentions with them and their maker. But I do know today that child is living a better life because they're part of a structured family, being treated as an equal in that family. And there's no one can have any issues with that.
I totally agree with you, and I applaud you for your efforts and, you know, for all you've gone through, and it's definitely, it's been a struggle, but I'm sure that you'll see, as you've already seen, it's definitely got some reward to it. We have one person, we have a person in the queue. I'd like to ask them if they have any questions. Would you hold, please?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller, did you have a question? 2060, did you have a question? I'm assuming they didn't have a question. Please continue.
So, I mean, that's everything. I do encourage anyone who would like to be part of this No Color line to join us. You know, they can always reach us. Our website is No Color Lines, no dash color lines.
So No Color Lines is one word?
www.nocolorlines.com. There's a dash between no and color lines. They can always go on the website and find out a little more about us. They can always contact us at 310-795-7665. You know, we welcome anyone who has any ideas, input. We're trying to make a White Month Appreciation Month. And that's what we were looking at doing it for March, but we're going to try to find it probably looking at April now. And we think it's appropriate to honor the white world for what they've done to help American citizens, black African-American citizens. You know, we honored Black History Month. It's time to honor those who were unsung heroes and the unnamed soldiers for the cause of these movements. So we will be having a White Appreciation Month. And we will appreciate all the white people who went against the anti-Semiticism and anything that was negative that promoted racism at a time when it was a death sentence. We want to honor those people. Even now, think about it. Martin Luther King said he wanted to see a day when black children and white children will be able to live together as equals and be judged by not the color of their skin but the content of their heart. That's
correct.
Coming true because of some of these celebrities adopting these kids. And the ones who are not celebrities, many non-celebrities are doing the same thing. So we're going to honor them. We're going to at least encourage them to continue the struggle that they've been hit hard in the media, you know, about these adoptions. Some people say, well, why don't they adopt people in our country? You know, there's plenty. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter where you adopt a child. A child in the world needs love. You know, I don't geographically single out which child deserves more love than another. I do say that any child that gets a chance to have love in God's world, we applaud that. So,
yes,
you know, we're gonna finally give these families their due. You know, there's some issues about it. It's not an even playing field. They say that white kids are harder. It's harder for a black family to adopt a white kid than a white family to adopt a black kid. That is true. I'm sure that's the case. But we do understand. We not in a perfect world, but yet still there's still some polarizations about what happens if that happened. So the measuring stick is not even yet. And I'm sure one day it will be even. But I'm sure it will be more improved as time goes on.
Correct. So basically in the whole, what we're doing or what you're doing is you're honoring anyone that's actually stepped up to the plate, also
mm-hmm.
acknowledging a lot of people that throughout history have stepped up for
mm-hmm.
the improvement, the betterment, and the oneness of us as Americans and as a world.
That's it. That's it. We're one nation under God. Individuals with liberty and justice for all. That's we're American citizens. Yes. Yes. My heritage is black. My father's heritage is Ethiopian. I'm proud of that. He was a Hebrew. My mom's from Oklahoma. Pork chop eating country girl, Oklahoma. God rest her soul. I love that. But that's our heritage. Our heritage goes as far as back as Africa. That's where we originate from as Africa, as black people.
Yes.
And as Europeans, history goes to Europe, somewhere in Europe. And, you know, that's our heritage. But when we got here, and now that we're here, we're Americans. whether you're Cuban American, Mexican American, Black American, or White American. We're just American people. We have the same Constitution that we must go by and same Bill of Rights that we're protected by.
Yes, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically, we all need to work together as a team to grow and to find success. And success is whatever success means to you. But Mr.
I'd like
Stern,
to invite your radio station. I'd like to invite your radio, your station, to be part of that day of that award ceremony and give you a place to be there that day and be part of this event. So, any of your followers, you know, you guys are more than welcome to be there.
That would be a beautiful thing. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward. Could you give the information one more time so that?
Sure. You can reach me at 310-795-7665, or they can go to the website and go to No Color Lines, www.no/colorlines.com.
That's outstanding. And, again, thank you, and I applaud you for all of the things that you've been doing and all of the things that you're presently doing and I'm sure are going to continue to do in the future.
I appreciate you. Thank you for the time on your show.
No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank our guest for coming on. And also, like I said, at the bottom of the website on today's show, there's actually some videos, some YouTube videos, that'll give you a little bit more detail on what happened and what Mr. Stern went through in the early parts when he was dealing with the Mr. Killen. There's also some footage there. Also, you can Google him and Google the information, and you can find out quite a lot about what went on. And as he said, there's going to be a book and a movie and all of that stuff about this particular version of it. And ladies and gentlemen, we also need to remember that a lot of times history goes to the winner or who they see as the victor. So a lot of history that we've gotten, especially in the African-American community, is now we're finding out that it's not true. You've got the story of the Buffalo Soldiers, or some people call it the saga. You've got how black inventors have actually done things to improve the world and how they are just getting credit in the last 20 or 30 years. Again, people like Mr. Stern are people that we need to applaud because they're bringing that history out. And they're not hurting any particular group. They're actually helping each and every group because now everybody's seeing that it's an equal playing field. We've all contributed. We've all done things to make this world a better place. And as we grow and as we have an open mind, we'll grow and find out that we all have even more to contribute. So again, thank you very much, Mr. Stern, for coming on. Hopefully
My pleasure.
Can talk again, maybe do some future shows.
That
would be a beautiful thing. I know you're open to it. And again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Please share this show with everybody that you can and get involved. Get involved with what's going on. Stop making life a voyeur situation and take an active position and play an active role in making the world you live in and your children live in and your children's children live in a better place for each and every person. Again, thank you very much. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show. As always, I want to thank you for listening to us today. And if you'd like to follow us in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, you can click follow and you can find out about future and upcoming shows that are coming up. We greatly appreciate, because if you're not listening, all we're doing is talking to ourselves. So this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Everybody take care, be well, and again, thank you for listening. And again, come on, people, let's do what we need to do. Farewell.